Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back for another episode. Happy Sunday. I hope you are having a great weekend. I hope the rest of your weekend goes even better. Hey, we are in the middle of a series. It's called Is God Mad at You? And we're in part three. If you have not listened to the first two parts, I want to invite you to go back and check them out. I'm laying a lot of groundwork, as I said in the previous episode. I'm laying a tapestry and weaving a tapestry for you. So there's a lot of threads that go into this. And as you've been following, I've led you up to the story. And this is the story today. It is a powerful story. And I know, just like when I started this series, I said everybody has very strong opinions about this. And I spent the last couple of episodes explaining why people need to have God be mad. And maybe not mad at them, but certainly mad at other people. It all surrounds this idea of justice. And these huge distinctions that we hold in our minds that separate us from others. And this story was told by Jesus. And it was designed to be a story to just blow people out of the water. And I've heard it taught so many ways, but so few people ever see this as an issue of justice. They always teach it solely on an issue of generosity. What am I talking about? Well, we've been exploring how these dualistic distinctions have created religious systems by which we score other people and determine if they think whether we think they're valid or not, right? Those people are good people. Those people are bad people. Oh, you know what? I don't think they really know God. I don't think they're following God. I think those people are sinners. They certainly can't love God, right? It's part of our human propensity because this is how we have learned the world as a child. We learned that the stove was either hot or it wasn't. We learned that this light switch was on or it's off. It's not until we get older that we realize that there's such a thing as a dimmer switch where it's on in varying degrees. And this is how we learn justice, on or off, good or bad. And this is how we came to paint a picture, an understanding of God. And we saw this depicted in our immature forefathers who wrote it all down in scripture. Now, Jesus tells a parable here in Matthew, and it's in chapter 20, and it's about the workers in a vineyard. And it's a metaphor. It says right there that it's a metaphor for the kingdom of heaven. It's what it's like, right? This is how you know what it's like. And, you know, like Richard Rohr is always saying, that metaphor is really the only language of religion. It's all you have. It's like this. It's like that. It's sort of similar to this. And Jesus tells so many parables, and that's why. You see, this story tells of a master who starts the day by hiring laborers to go and work in the vineyard for an agreed-upon daily wage. And every couple of hours, the master goes out and hires more people for the agreed wages until the very last hour of work. I mean, he's right up there at closing time. And he brings a few more in, and they work for just a little while. And then at the end of the day, the master lines all the workers up in a row, and he gives them their pay, their daily wage, starting with those hired last. And the scripture talks about what's going on in the mindset of those who are hired first. That's really the heart of this, is what is in the heart of those who are hired first. Those who bore the heat of the day, the scripture says. you know, the master comes along and he makes the last hired equal to the first, because they're sitting there thinking, well, gosh, if the person who got hired and only worked an hour gets a full day's wage, then those of us who worked all day should get way, way more. And this story is completely unfair. Those who were hired first realized they were getting the same, and they got mad at the master of the vineyard. They were grumbling and complaining and saying it's not fair. Why? Because they see this as unfair, just as you would, just as I would, because they were raised just like you, just like me. That's hot, and that's a touch, and that's a no touch, and that's a cold, and it's on or it's off. It's good or it's bad. We create distinctions for everything, and then we have power over them. And that is why this story is about injustice, because it seems so unfair. And most of us do not have a category for justice other than retribution. And so, as a metaphor for heaven, which this story clearly states that it is, it tells us about the justice of heaven. And it's not what we were all taught, right? We were all taught that God is mad, and only some people, very few people in human history, are even going to make it. Yeah, very few. But that's supposed to be the fair way, because those are the ones who are smart enough or good enough or bright enough to make that choice. The rest just didn't get it, and so they're lost forever in a fiery hell. That's the story. You see, the justice system of God, as this parable teaches, is not based upon the work of the individual, but on the generosity of the master. If we don't, if we can't get that in our heads, if we can't iron out the wrinkles in our thinking, we will hate the justice of heaven. It's too unfair. We can't handle it, right? Each person here agreed to the terms. Each person accepts the labor to be done, and each is required to do their work. It's not that you get off by not doing work, or what works are not important. They're not. It's just that the justice is not based on it. Works are important, but this is not a meritocracy. And that is really hard for American people to get their heads around. So you see, those who had labored the most became trapped in their distinctions. And those of you who see the obvious implications of this are also likely trapped in your distinctions, just as I was for many, many years. You see, it's easy to forget that, like the first hired, we are jobless and broke prior to the master's offer. Inequality only emerges when viewing this from the bottom up, from the viewpoint of the first hired up to the master. But from the viewpoint of the master, or the top down, all comers are generously made whole with a day's wages. That's the plan. The plan is to make all whole, to give everyone a denarius, a day's wage, for any labor that they do. It's not so much about the labor. It's not so much about the person doing the labor. It's about what the experience does for you, and how you need to be made whole, and you need to be in the vineyard working in order to see that happen. Those who came last, they are closest in proximity to that experience of generosity, aren't they? I mean, they're getting a whole day's wage for an hour's work, and they are overwhelmed because they know it doesn't seem fair. They're way closest in proximity to that generosity. Those who came first at the very bright early morning and worked all day, they're the farthest away from the proximity of this generosity. Why? Because to them, it's the most unfair. You see, and the story ends with these very familiar words: the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. It's all about proximity. Who actually has their head around the justice of heaven? Those closest to it are those who graciously accept the generosity. Those who feel like it's a meritocracy are farthest from the generosity. And it doesn't say that the last won't receive generosity. Of course they receive generosity. It also doesn't say that the first will get more. That's the problem. You see, in our dualistic paradigms, we always think that if we do more for Jesus, or our religion or faith requires more from us, that we should get a little bit more than somebody else who did hardly anything for it, don't we? That injustice creeps in, and the only way we balance that out is if we have a God of retribution, right? But justice based on restoration is different. It closes the gaps for everybody, both near and far, and it completes everyone. Now, everyone who's made whole, that's a new picture of justice, isn't it? Justice that's based on retribution, it always has winners and losers, innies and outies, flunkies and the greats. Restoration realizes that winners are just as far away as losers. They have a gap that they can't cover with their effort and their work. And only generosity or grace becomes that kind of an equalizer. It's amazing. It's beautiful. That kind of justice is amazingly more powerful, that is restoration, compared to retribution. Now, the application of this story couldn't be more clear. I mean, it's sad, though. Religion just desperately clings to an angry God who's full of retribution. Yeah, I mean, and then when that happens, your life as a faithful believer is really one of constant appeasement. Oh, did I make God mad now? Oop, I said a bad word. Oop, I had a sexual thought. Oop, I touched my wiener. Oop, I did this bad thing. Oh my gosh, now God is mad at me, right? I better switch it to K-Love. I better go and have communion. I better go to church. I better give my tithe. I better do something to get God back on my side. I better say this prayer. I better ask for forgiveness. I better drive myself and flatulate myself and whip myself and hurt myself and beat myself down so that God can hopefully accept me again. And of course, we're all graciously relieved that he always does. He, she always does. You see, most Christians and Muslims today believe that God is primarily mad at people. You know, it's not seen so much in other religions, but mostly Christianity and Islam. You know, and therefore they see God as sending the majority of human history into hell, right? Oh, we're all loved children of God until the day you die, and then God hates you with a vengeance, and he will torment you and kill you and destroy you. Is that what you believe? It's what I used to believe. And deep down, do you feel that God would be unjust if he just restored everyone to wholeness? Would God be unjust if he took all of us broken, childish, weak people and restored us to who we originally are in God? Would that be unjust, really? If so, if your belief is not unlike that of the first hired, your belief actually begrudges the generosity of God. That's why you really want retribution to be there. You need an angry God, not a generous God. Do you now see the sliding scale? If you think you will go to heaven before others, then you are further in proximity to the kingdom and its system of restoration and justice. Well, I know what some of you are thinking. Trust me, I know you, and I love you all, and you're so diverse and so different, and you all come from very different perspectives. But I know that some of you are sitting there really gristling right now. You're troubled, and you're saying, well, what about hell? Are you just saying everybody goes to heaven? What about sin? You know, sin was one of those things so bad that it cost Jesus his own life. This is a very big pill to swallow. If you do not have the necessary categories to kind of put this together, if you are thinking in a win-lose paradigm, you see, do we just throw all our distinctions out the window? I mean, I know the questions you're asking, and the answer is no, absolutely not. Do not just throw your distinctions out the window. We're going to learn something here, and I want to invite you back next week for the conclusion of the series. You see, the story continues. Jesus tells another story about distinctions. And while the first story tells us that you do not want to create your distinctions very strongly, this next story tells us the price we pay for underestimating our distinctions. And we learn that while God may not be angry, his love can certainly be severe. I want you to come back and learn more. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.